The political, economic, and social crisis in Venezuela continues to worsen by the day. And over the weekend, the New York Times reported that the Trump administration has been actively discussing plans with rebel Venezuelan military officials to stage a coup against current President Nicolas Maduro. Nicholas Casey is the Times' bureau chief for the Andes. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what was the extent to which the U.S. government actually discussed these coup plans? Was the Trump administration excited for making this happen?
Well, the administration met several times with rebel Venezuelan military officers representing a group that was both current and people who weren't in the military anymore, who were interested in overthrowing Maduro. And one of their main frustrations was that they couldn't get an answer from the White House as to whether they were interested in this plan or not. They sent the White House someone in what they called listening mode to essentially gather intel on what was being discussed, what they were talking about, hear their requests, which included encrypted radios, and relay that back to the White House. But ultimately, they didn't get any response from the White House that they wanted.
And I'm wondering, why want to work with the United States on something like this? I mean, are the history that the United States has with Latin America and toppling governments is not exactly a great one, right, Nick?
It's not. There's been a long history of coups, rebellions, and other sorts of machinations that were supported by the U.S. But in some part, this may have been one of the reasons that had interested the coup plotters. Specifically, there was a moment last year, last August 2017, when Donald Trump said that he was interested in a military option for Venezuela that could potentially end Maduro's presidency. This was heard by a number of Venezuelans who were already plotting against Maduro. And that's when they decided that perhaps the U.S. might be interested in helping, giving advice. They were never interested in a military intervention as such, but they wanted to know what the U.S. thought about their plan.
Now, what would the U.S. have to gain or lose by participating in something like this?
Well, the U.S. is very worried right now about Venezuela, as is everybody in the region right now. Nicolas Maduro has become a dictator in this area. He's held an election to extend his term, which few people consider to have been valid and many consider to have been rigged. And meanwhile, the crisis of food, medicine, the economic mismanagement of the country has sent millions of people flooding out of Venezuela into its border. So when the U.S. is looking at it, it's seeing a crisis that's already in process and perhaps a bigger one that's in the making. And really, I think what these meetings show is that the U.S. is trying to look at what the different options have been and who might be behind them.
And so in the piece that you wrote for the New York Times, you said that the U.S. government was apprehensive in working with some of these rebel Venezuelan military officials because of their ties to drug trafficking and human rights abuses. Tell us about the nature of these rebel factions.
Well, the Venezuelan military has been accused by the U.S. of all manner of crimes, including drug trafficking, as you mentioned, human rights violations, repressing protesters. The list really goes on. So these characters, as seen by the U.S., are questionable, many of them. And one of them in particular that was a source on this story was actually sanctioned, is under sanctions from the OFAC, which is from the Treasury Department. So these are not necessarily emissaries of democracy, but I think that the U.S. also realizes that they're some of the few interlocutors that it does have, given that the opposition in Venezuela is very weak. Popular protests have failed on the streets because Maduro has cracked down on them. And there just seem to be very few options, including elections don't seem to be an option right now in Venezuela anymore, given the level of control that the Venezuelan government has over them.
Now, of course, we know that Venezuela has been dealing with this type of instability for a while. In fact, there have been a couple of high-profile attacks against high-level Venezuelan government officials. There was a drone attack that took place in August. There was a helicopter attack from last year. Do you know, Nick, if the United States knew about these attacks or plans for these attacks and if they were supported by the U.S.?
We've never had any reason to believe, Ernesto Londoño, my colleague that reported the story as well, and me, that the U.S. knew of the drone or the helicopter attacks. From all it seems, these were fairly amateurish attacks, and the ones that were potentially being planned as coups were much more extensive, involved the military. That said, there's not a lot of information out on who was behind specifically the drone attack against Maduro. The helicopter attack, which took place last year, the person behind that was a rebel police officer, and he's said to me, at least before he was killed, that he never had any contact with the U.S. So we're still getting more information on what happened there, but we don't have any that leads us to think that the U.S. was behind, knew of, or was involved in planning those attacks.
This seems like a particularly desperate move. Is this one of the last attempts by officials or former officials or military folks in Venezuela to try and get things on the right track? And if this does not succeed, then what?
Well, yeah, as you pointed out, the fact that a country would be considering a military coup, or the military would be considering that, the fact that the U.S. would be sitting down with these people shows just how far along this crisis has gotten, how many avenues that you would normally use to change power, elections, protests, have been closed at this point. Is this going to be tried again? Perhaps. Many of the coup plotters have been jailed at this point, and it's not clear how they would go ahead and move forward with any new plans of a coup. But the country is extremely unstable right now. As we've already talked about, there's been an assassination attempt on Maduro using a drone. It's just impossible to say what might be the next step in the history of this place.
Nick Casey is the New York Times bureau chief for the Andes. Nick, thanks again.
Thanks so much, Tanzina.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.